Well, again, let me say happy Mother's Day. I pray that you have a very special day today, moms. You work yourselves to the bone, serving everyone else. I pray today you are being served. And I like to do something special on Mother's Day. I like to bring a special message. I like to talk about a woman from the Bible. We've talked about Hannah and Deborah and Leah, and today we're going to talk about another woman. And this year, man, I just didn't know who I wanted to talk about. So I did what seems to work for me. I turned to music as a form of inspiration. And I found this song. And once I found the song, the message just came together. And I want to say that maybe the song was written with some political underthemes back in the day. But I'm just using the song for what it says on the surface. So don't read anything into it. When I was a little boy, and the devil would call my name, and I'd say, now, who do you think you're fooling? I'm a consecrated boy, singer in the Sunday choir. You know what? My mama, she loves me. She loves me. She get down on her knees and hugs me. My mama loves me like a rock. She rocks me like the Rock of Ages. She loves me. My mama loves me. Your mother loves you. And moms, this morning we say thanks, and we love you too. I feel, just like Richard said, we didn't plan this, but I feel that the closest thing we'll ever find on this earth to God's love for us is a mother's love for her child. A mother's love for her child. And you know, dads love their children too. I'm a dad, I love my kids. But as a dad, I can honestly say there's something different about a mother's love. It's just different. You know, men, for the most part, they're committed to protecting this world they've created for their families, but mothers are just dedicated to protecting their children. A dad tends to think logically about money and just bigger things, but a mom she's just focused on her child. A dad needs time to himself. He needs time to do his thing. But for many moms, their child is their thing. Dads sacrifice for the greater goods, for the greater good. But moms sacrifice for their children. And now, dads, I'm in no way saying that you're chopped liver. I'm in no way saying that. What I'm saying is that we each have a role to play in God's economy. God has created us. He's made us men and women and fathers and mothers, and we have a role to play as we seek to submit to him and bring him honor and glory. And what I'm trying to say this morning is probably, in my opinion, the closest thing on this earth to God's love for us is a mother's love for her child. And here's another difference between moms and dads. As a child grows into adulthood, a dad sees an adult who had better do their part for the greater good of the family. But no matter how old a child grows to be, a mom always sees her baby. When I was a grown man, and the devil called my name, and I said, now, who do you think you're fooling? I'm a consummated man, and I can snatch purity, and my mama, she loves me, she loves me. She gets down on her knees and hugs me. My mama loves me like a rock. She rocks me like the Rock of Ages. She loves me. Loves me, loves me, loves me, loves you. Loves me like a rock. Na, 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 na. Loves me like a rock. Our need this morning is to realize that we would never be able to reach our full potential without our mommy's love for us. If you have your Bibles, open to Exodus chapter 2, the second book in your Bible, Genesis, Exodus. Exodus chapter 2, verses 1 through 10. Exodus chapter 2. In this passage this morning, we're going to talk about an extraordinary woman and mother. It's someone that you know about and read about, although you probably don't know her name. This morning, we're going to talk about the mother of Moses. Her name is Jochebed. Moses would never have been able to reach his full potential without his mama. And as we look at this passage and look at this birth narrative of Moses and look at the role his mother played, we're going to have four main points. We're going to talk about the fact that his mother had him, The fact that his mother hid him, the fact that his mother held him, and the fact that his mother honed him. 4 points, very simple, as we work through this passage. His mother had him, hid him, held him, and honed him. And today, not this week, today, Christian, realize that a big part, maybe the biggest part of who you are, is due to your mother's love for you. Praise God for her today. Amen. And if you're able, tell her so. Let's read together Exodus chapter 2, verses 1 through 10. Now a man of the house of Levi married a Levite woman, and she became pregnant and gave birth to a son. When she saw that he was a fine child, she hid him for 3 months. But when she could hide him no longer, she got a papyrus basket for him and coated it with tar and pitch. Then she placed the child in it and put it among the reeds along the bank of the Nile. His sister stood at a distance to see what would happen to him. The Pharaoh's daughter went down to the Nile to bathe, and her attendants were walking along the riverbank. She saw the basket among the reeds and sent her slave girl to get it. She opened it and saw the baby. He was crying, and she felt sorry for him. "This is one of the Hebrew babies," she said. Then his sister asked Pharaoh's daughter, "Shall I go and get one of the Hebrew women to nurse the baby for you?" "Yes, go," she answered, and the girl went and got the baby's mother. Pharaoh's daughter said to her, "Take this baby and nurse him for me, and I will pay you." So the woman took the baby and nursed him. Verse 10, when the child grew older, she took him to Pharaoh's daughter, and he became her son. She named him Moses, saying, "I drew him out of the water." As we begin this passage this morning, our first point, his mother had him. His mother had him. Let me again read verses 1 and the first part of verse 2. Now a man of the house of Levi married a Levite woman, and she became pregnant and gave birth to a son. Moses was born into a dangerous, cruel, and sin-fallen world. He was born a Hebrew slave in the land of Egypt. In fact, what we're told in Exodus chapter 1, verse 12, is that the Hebrew slaves were multiplying too rapidly. They were having too many babies. They were populating too quickly. And you know, if there's too many slaves, they could revolt against their masters. So Pharaoh, the law of the land, said this in Exodus chapter 1, verse 22. Then Pharaoh gave this order to all his people, "Every boy that is born, you must throw into the Nile, but let every girl live. Every baby boy that's born, throw him into the river, gator bait." So, on the surface of things, it would seem that Moses was born to die. Moses' father was named Amram, and his mother was named Jochebed, and he had two older siblings, a sister and a brother. Probably his sister was the oldest, Miriam, and his brother Aaron. And now both Miriam and Aaron will be prominent figures in the desert wanderings of the nation of Israel. But let me quickly read to you Numbers 26, verse 59, just to prove this is their family. The name of Amram's wife was Jochebed, a descendant of Levi, who was born to the Levites in Egypt. To Amram, she bore Aaron, Moses, and their sister Miriam. Now both Amram and Jochebed were Levites, being descendants of Levi. And this is important because even though the law had not been given at Sinai yet, it shows that Moses is from the right tribe to provide religious and spiritual leadership to the people of Israel. In fact, both Moses and Aaron will be called to speak for God to the people and be called to mediate on behalf of the people before God. Moses' parents were faithful people. How do we know? Because they're listed in Hebrews chapter 11, the Hall of Faith. Hebrews 11, verse 23 says, "By faith, Moses' parents hid him for 3 months after he was born, because they saw he was no ordinary child, and they were not afraid of the king's edict." And what we find here in verse 1 and 2 is that Jochebed became pregnant with her third child, and she gave birth to a son, a baby boy. Continuing in verse 2, "And when she saw that he was a fine child, she hid him for 3 months." You think this is a bad world to bring a child into? Consider the world that Moses was born into. It was a world of slavery and fear. One writer said, "When a wrong wants righting, or a work wants doing, or a truth wants preaching, or a continent wants opening, God sends a baby into the world to do it." And God sent baby Moses. Now, what we read here When Jochebed saw her baby for the very first time, the NIV says she saw that he was a fine child. You know what that means? It means she fell in love. Fireworks went off. She saw that her baby boy was a handsome, healthy, happy, newborn baby boy, and her heart melted for her son. And what the Hebrew language actually says here is that when she saw her son for the first time, she longed to keep him. I mean, wouldn't she, being a mother? She longed to keep him. Can you imagine being forced by the government to throw your newborn son into the river to die? It's horrid. It's unconscionable. And in five seconds of Jochebed meeting her new baby boy, oh man, she loved him. She loved him. She got down on her knees and hugged him. Man, she loved him like the rock of ages. She loved him. Mothers, think about the first time you met your baby or your babies. I mean, 9 months of carrying your child in your womb, culminating in this first encounter. Just remember the emotions you felt. Remember the love you felt, the connection you felt. I mean, it was one of, if not the, most special moment of your life when your child was born. And this is another difference between moms and dads. And maybe some dads are, you know, more tender than I am. But being very honest with you, showing my knuckleheadedness, when my children were born, I can tell you exactly my first thought. I thought my wife gave birth to a purple cone-headed alien. And I was like, that's my kid. And I was freaking out. I kept saying, doctor, look at her head. Doctor, look at her head. And he said, the head has to be shaped like that to fit through the birth canal. It'll be normal. I was like, oh. And then when Claire was born, forget about it. Claire was just about to come out of the birth canal, but she was facing down the wrong direction. So he had to do this maneuver to face her upward. And when he did, he squished her little head. And when Claire was born, she wasn't only purple or cone-headed or alien-like. She had an exploded eyeball. And I was upset. I was like, what'd you do to my kid? What'd you do? And the doctor literally pulled me aside and said, look, your baby's eye is going to be fine. My baby was born with real problems. And I was like, whoa. Boy, he smacked me down quick. But remember, especially moms, remember how you felt when your baby was born, when you held him or her for the first time. This woman had such love for her baby that she disregarded Pharaoh's law. She disregarded, you know, the law of the land, and she hid baby Moses for 3 months in her house. You see, as people of God, we are to obey the law until we are to disobey the law. God's law for us is supreme. And when the government makes laws that tells us to disobey God's law, we have a choice to make, but the Bible is clear. We follow God's law. And I'm telling you right now, there will be a time in this country, and it's coming soon, where the laws of this land will tell us to disobey the laws of God, and we will have a decision to make. We will have a decision to make. They had the same decision to make back in the book of Acts, Peter and the apostles. In Acts chapter 5, verse 29, it says, Peter and the other apostles replied, we must obey God rather than men. We will have to make a decision. Jochebed, she had to make a decision, and the decision was easy for her. She wasn't throwing her baby in the river. She hid baby Moses in her home for 3 months, okay? So the question becomes, why didn't she try to hide him in her home longer than 3 months? Well, it's really quite obvious, because as baby Moses grew, his lungs would develop, he would start to cry louder, and it became too dangerous. Remember, their family of five, she has two other kids to worry about. It just became too dangerous. But what we see here is a mother's love for her child. I mean, she only did what any caring mother would do. She only did what you would do. She tried to save the life of her baby boy. His mother had him. His mother had him. And this leads us to our next point as we move on to verse 3. Now we're going to see his mother hid him. His mother hid him. And I'm not talking about hiding him in her house for 3 months. I'm talking after that, his mother hid him. Verse 3. But when she could hide him no longer, she got a papyrus basket for him and coated it with tar and pitch. Then she placed the child in it and put it among the reeds along the bank of the Nile. Jochebed came to the point, and Amram, they came to the point where they could no longer hide this baby in their house. It became impossible. It was too dangerous. So quite possibly, Amram turned to his wife and said, "What do we do now?" And Jochebed could have answered with asking another question, "How does God save someone who has been condemned to death?" The ark. The ark. The world was condemned to death, but God saved Noah and his family in the ark. How does God save people? He saves them in an ark. And that's exactly what they did. They built an ark. It says here they got a papyrus basket. That word being translated basket in Hebrew, it literally means ark. They made a papyrus ark. They coated it with tar and pitch to make it waterproof. I was about to say baby proof. Waterproof. And they put the baby in it. They placed baby Moses in it, hiding him inside the ark. And then they put a lid on top, sealing him in the ark. That the lid on top would muffle the baby's cries. And then what did they do with the ark? They placed it among the reeds on the bank of the Nile River. In verse 4, his sister stood at a distance to see what would happen to him. His big sister Miriam, probably about 12 years old by now, she stood watch to see what would happen to her baby brother. Now, according to the wording in this passage, what does and what does not happen to Moses? They did not put Moses in the ark and send the ark floating down the river, just trusting in God to protect him. I think that's the popular belief, and I don't think that's what happened at all. I think the wording here gives us a whole different story. Jochebed had too much love to just send her baby floating down the river. She was going to keep her baby. She loved this baby. And I think her faith, by faith, she believed that God was going to help her to keep this baby. I want you to think about this. They're living in Egypt. They're living in a desert. Where do you hide something? You're not going to bury a baby in the sand. So where's the next best place? The river. So what they did was they built an ark. They sealed it. They put the baby in it. Then where did they put the ark? They put it among the reeds along the bank of the river. So the lid on top would muffle the cries. They put it in the reeds where it's going to be hidden, where it's not going to move, and where the reeds would also help muffle the cries of the baby. When I was a Border Patrol agent working along the Rio Grande River, on the U.S. side of the Rio Grande is cane. And let me tell you, that cane is good for one thing, besides stopping erosion. It's good for one thing. Hiding in. I pulled thousands of legal aliens out of that cane as they were trying to hide from us. Listen, if you put something in the cane, if you put something in the reeds, it's not going anywhere. Even if the river rises, it's not going anywhere. You don't put it so it'll float down the river. You put it in the reeds to hide it. So think about this. Think about this. Big sister was standing by. She was about 12 years old. She wasn't old enough to be working with the ladies, so she wouldn't arouse suspicion as she was kind of keeping an eye on the place where the ark was hidden. The ark was hidden during the day when no one was around. They'd go get baby Moses, take him out of the ark, feed him, then they would put him back. At night, they would probably go get him, bring him home because they didn't have electricity. They had big torches, and for soldiers to bring a torch into the slaves' quarters was a fire hazard. They really didn't search people's houses that much at night. So the baby's probably kind of safe at night if they can kind of muffle the cries. Before daylight, they put the baby back in the ark in its secreted location. The ark is always ready. It's always there. And whenever Egyptians are around, Moses goes in the ark. I think that was their plan. It probably wasn't the perfect plan. But then again, we'll see that it was the perfect plan. See, all of this was an act of faith on Jochebed's part. I mean, who we see here is a mother who loved baby Moses. She loved him. She loved him like a rock. She loved him like the rock of ages. She would do anything for her child. And what she did was the best she could do. And she let God do the rest. You see, we as parents, we have a part to play in the lives of our children. We have to do our part, and then we leave the rest to God. I mean, we can't. Ultimately, we cannot save our children. But God can. God can. Verse 5. Then Pharaoh's daughter went down to the Nile to bathe, and her attendants were walking along the riverbank. She saw the basket among the reeds and sent her slave girl in to get it. So Pharaoh's daughter, the princess, comes down to the river to bathe. Now, first question, why in the world is she bathing in the river? She lives in the palace. She probably has a tub. Well, remember that to them, the Nile River was sacred. It was a god. Washing in the river was a form of worship. It's during the day that the men folk are off doing business or soldiering. The Hebrew men slaves are off building the pyramids or whatever they're doing. They wouldn't hide baby Moses right in a very populated area where business is going on. It's probably an area off where it's kind of secluded. The princess goes there by herself with her attendants to bathe. She's in the river bathing, and she probably hears some sort of muffled cry. She investigates and sees in the reeds something. She spots the ark. She can't get to it from where she is because the way the family put it, it had to be gotten from the land, so she sends her slave girl around who finds the ark and acquires it, and she brings it to the princess. And when you're reading this, you're thinking, oh no. Oh no, the baby's going to die. But what a twist. Instead of this leading to the baby's death, this occurrence actually leads to the perfect protection of the baby's life. See, God's hand is upon this whole thing. It couldn't have worked any more perfectly. God's plan is the perfect plan. God not only saves this child, but he blesses the parents. He blesses the family due to their faithfulness. I don't think they ever had a doubt that Moses would be safe. The princess, she opened the ark and she finds baby Moses crying. Verse 6, she opened it and saw the baby. He was crying, and she felt sorry for him. This is one of the Hebrew babies, she said. She opens this ark, and she sees this happy, healthy baby, but he's crying, and at that moment, her heart melts. Her heart melts for this baby. Even though she recognizes the baby as a Hebrew baby, her heart melts, and at that moment, Moses is safe. Do you think that she could take this baby and throw him to the crocodiles? No way. No way. What would you do to save the life of your child? Anything. Anything. You would do the best you could, and that's exactly what Jochebed did. She did her best, and she left the rest up to God, and unexpectedly, the unthinkable happened. God not only blessed the baby, but Jochebed also, as God gave the baby back to her for a while. His mother had him. And his mother hid him. And this leads to our next main point as we move on to verse 7. His mother held him. Verse 7. Then his sister asked Pharaoh's daughter, "Shall I go and get one of the Hebrew women to nurse the baby for you?" Now we find little Miriam taking control of the action. So Pharaoh's daughter is holding Moses, probably going, "Ooh, gaga, goo, 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 goo. And all of a sudden, Miriam comes jumping out of the bushes from wherever she's hiding, and she goes, hey, shall I go get one of the Hebrew women to nurse the baby for you? I mean, do you need help taking care of and feeding that baby?" And then the princess was like, yeah, I didn't think about that. Do you know someone? Well, go get them. So she says, "Yes, go," she answered, and the girl went. And the girl got the baby's mother. And you can just imagine Miriam, boy, she's just running home. And boy, her head's just full of the stuff. And she gets there to her mama and she goes, Mama, Mommy, Moses, Pharaoh's daughter, ark open, need food. Like, what, girl? Slow down. Stop. Wait a second. Pharaoh's daughter, Moses, what? And they're running together down to the river. And verse 9, when Jochebed gets to the river, Pharaoh's daughter says to her, "Take this baby and nurse him for me, and I will pay you." So the woman took the baby and nursed him. So Jochebed, she took baby Moses, she took her own baby, she took him home to care for and to feed, and Pharaoh paid her to do it. Wow. Wow. Now she's finally able to love him like the rock, to love him like the rock of ages, to love him, love him, love him, love him, love him, love him like a rock. I mean, what we see all throughout the Bible and really in our lives, if you have spiritual eyes to see, God is sovereign and he's working in our lives. He is faithful to those who are faithful. He's so good. He's so good. Can you imagine for one second as Jochebed, she brings her baby home finally in daylight, finally not trying to hide him anymore. Can you just imagine the tears of joy and the singing of praises? It was party time at Amram's house, let me tell you, a block party. Man, can you imagine how this strengthened their faith? Can you imagine how this strengthened their resolve to serve God even as slaves in Egypt? Can you imagine what they must have felt? And his mother held him. She finally just held him. She went house to house holding him. Look at my baby. And what did Jochebed do with this extension of time? Oh, real quick. In ancient times, mothers nursed their children for 3 to 5 years before they were weaned. So that means the most likely, Jochebed probably had Moses for, we'll just say, 4 or 5 years possibly before she'd have to give him up. So what did she do with this time, the short amount of time before she had to give him back to the princess? And the princess may have seen Moses on and off, but what she say? She says, take the child, take the baby and nurse him for me. So she may have had him for 4 or 5 years. And what does she do with this extension of time that God gave her? This leads to our fourth point. And this fourth point isn't specifically in the text here. I'm reading between the lines. His mother had him, hid him, held him, and now we find that his mother honed him. She honed him. She sharpened him. Jochebed had Moses for maybe 4, maybe 5 years before she would have to give him up. And what did she do with this precious little amount of time that she had? She honed him into the person that he would later become. She filled him with faith in the one true living God. She filled him with faith in Yahweh. I mean, granted, Moses is young, but what does the Bible say? Proverbs 22:6, raise a child in the way he should go, and when he's old, he won't depart from it. For those years, she taught him. For those years, she drilled truth into his precious little skull. And what do you think she taught him? Read the book of Genesis. That's probably what she taught him. You know, through the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, Moses will come to write the first 5 books of the Bible. And of course, these writings are inspired by the Spirit. Of course, God physically spoke to Moses and gave him the law. But do you really think that Moses sat there with a yellow legal pad taking notes as God just told him all his history? I mean, where do you think he got all his history from? His mama. And oh, what a mama. Before Moses went to Egyptian school and college, before those godless professors put foolishness in his brain, she taught him. She taught him the truth. She taught him the truth about creation and about Cain and Abel, about Enoch and Noah and the flood. She would teach him about the Tower of Babel and Abraham and the covenant and Sodom and Gomorrah and Lot and his wife and Ishmael and Isaac and Jacob and Esau and the 12 patriarchs. She would teach him. Jochebed, she told Moses why the Hebrew people were slaves in Egypt, and she told him about the prophecy that after 400 years they'd be delivered. She taught him probably a lot about Joseph, since Joseph makes up almost a third of the book of Genesis, how Joseph in that country, in the country of Egypt, how he stood against impurity and immorality, how he suffered, but God raised him up right there in Egypt. She taught him. She taught him to have faith. They were faithful people, and she poured her faith into her son. Verse 10, and when the child grew older, she took him to Pharaoh's daughter, and he became her son. She named him Moses, saying, I drew him out of the water. Eventually, the inevitable happened. The call came from the palace. Give me my son! And Jochebed probably grabbed his little head and looked in his eyes and said, remember all that I've taught you, son. Remember to always have faith in God. Never lose that faith. And remember, I will always love you. Always. And Moses became a prince of Egypt. Now here's an interesting note from the end of verse 10. It says here, She named him Moses, saying, I drew him out of the water. So notice that his mother didn't name him. Pharaoh's daughter named him. And the name Moses is both a Hebrew word and an Egyptian word. The name Moses is a very common Egyptian word meaning son. And it stems from the Hebrew verb Moshe, which means to draw out. I drew him out of the water. So as the princess named her new son this, she both honored his Hebrew origins, but with the same name, she also legitimized him as an Egyptian citizen with a name that said, this is my son, I adopted him. Moses would not have been half the man without his mother, without her love in protecting him, without her faith as she sought to pour herself into him in the short time they had together. And remember, she had a husband and other children to take care of too. It was a crazy and evil world that Moses was born into, but Jochebed did her best. She did her best to protect him and to instill faith in him, and she let God do the rest. While she had him, she loved him. She loved him like the rock of ages. She loved him. And as I read this passage, I'm reminded of you, moms. I'm reminded how you loved us. And I'm reminded how you sacrificed for us. And I'm reminded how even though things weren't always perfect, you did your best. You did your best. And God did the rest. So mothers today, we acknowledge your love for us. We acknowledge how important you are to us. We acknowledge the fact that we would not be the same person without you. We acknowledge the fact that you sacrificed, you gave of yourself, you gave up for us. And maybe you didn't have the same trials as Jochebed. Maybe you didn't have the same junk, but you had your own trials and you had your own junk. And you know what? Like I wrote in my wife's Mother's Day card, the curse of motherhood is that children never know how good they got it. But as we grow, we can say, now I understand. Now I know. Now I know. You did your best, and God did the rest. So thank you, moms. Thank you for your life. Thank you for life. Thank you that you didn't look at me and think, boy, cone-headed alien. You know? Thank you for your love, a love that is probably the most perfect love this side of heaven. Thanks for loving us, your children, enough to do whatever it took. And for those of you with young kids, to do whatever it takes. Thank you for your sacrifices. Happy Mother's Day. Enjoy your day. Know that you are blessed by God and we are blessed by you. Let's pray. Father, we thank you. We praise you. We seek to give you honor and glory on this day, this Sunday, a day that you have made, but also a very special day on Mother's Day. And Lord, as we remember and seek to honor our mothers, we first remember and honor you, Father, and proclaim the death of Jesus until the day he comes. We understand that at one time the people believed that they were saved by an ark. But today we realize that ark was a symbol of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, and we find salvation in him. We thank you for Jesus. We thank you for his sacrifice on the cross. We thank you that what we couldn't work for or earn, you give us as a free gift through our faith. We thank you, Father, that the price that we couldn't pay, you paid by sacrificing your son for us. And we thank you, Lord, just for life and breath, but on this day, we also thank you, a very special thanks for our mothers. Bless them. And Lord, not everyone had a super mom, but they did their best. And we thank them for that. Lord, bless our mothers. Bless them. Touch their bodies through your spirit. Help them be healthy, those that are suffering and ill. Bless our mothers and help them to know how much you love them, Father, but how much we love them too. Help us to break down the barriers of bad communication today. Just tell our moms that, man, we love them so much. And we thank you. Thank you for this time. Thank you for this message. Thank you for your word. And Lord, as we children grow to be parents, help us to do our best for our children and leave the rest up to you. Lord, we thank you and we praise you. In the name of Jesus, amen.
Please stand. If there's anybody who needs to come up and pray, Pastor David or the elders would be willing to pray with you, or just come up and pray yourself. We open up the front here for anybody. The arms of love.
I sing a simple song of love to my Savior.